You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. We're continuing here in our study of the scripture. We're looking at Judges chapter 6, and where the Heavenly Father raises up Gideon. He starts to tear down after 7 years of bondage. And I liken that to the bondage that America is in, only America has been in bondage much longer than 7 years, where we have to answer to a foreign system of gods and pay tribute at every turn. Tribute is mandated at every turn for everything you do. You have to pay a tribute to travel. You have to pay a tribute to live on your in your home. You have to pay a tribute to work. You have to pay tribute for if you get old. Everywhere you turn, you have to pay tribute to some foreign god. And if you don't, well, they have their policy enforcers out there to gather you up and take you to their temple, and so you can stand before their black-robed high priest, who would decide what to do with you if you have not volunteered in. And if they can't force a signature out of you to volunteer, then they might just throw you in to their prison for an undetermined period of time. It happens daily. But most people just give in to the fear, oh yes, I'll side, I will pay the tribute. And that's where Israel was at this time. They were paying the tribute. They allowed the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east to come in and put their little temples everywhere. And that's why Joash finally stands up and he says, let Baal plead for himself against one who has cast down his altar. So then all the Midianites and Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. So all the men of that realm came out and answered the trumpet call of Gideon. And he sent a messenger throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if dew be on it, the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. I just thought of something funny. You know, this is the proverbial fleece. He put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then I know that thou wilt save Israel. Is Gideon kind of tricking himself here? Now, if he put the fleece out on the grass instead of on the bare floor, I could believe that it would naturally occur that there would be dew on the grass and the fleece. Because does dew gather on the floor? Because the earth usually stays warm enough that the dew point isn't reached by the surface of the earth, whereas the wool is up into the air, where if it's cold enough, the wool would get cold enough to reach the dew point. That's something to think about anyway. So maybe Gideon is just tricking himself here, but he should have believed perhaps without the fleece. But anyway, we'll just read the story. Just something there for all you farmers, know what I'm talking about when it comes to dew point, and all you weathermen going, huh, yeah, that kind of, so something funny about that, isn't there? Yes, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth, then perhaps he's talking about earth with grass. But he says, I will put the wool on the floor. So I don't know. If it's just a bare floor, it's never going to get cold enough to hit the dew point. So it would be natural that the dew would only be on the fleece. Yes, something to think about. Anyway, we'll move on here. Then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning, and thrust the fleece together, and wrung the dew out of the fleece in a bowl full of water. Well, that is some kind of dew. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once, with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. I don't know. I met an angel of the Lord and all these signs being required, but I guess, you know, the Heavenly Father understands his inability to believe, I guess. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew upon all the ground. Well, now that is a miracle, because that's the opposite of the way it would happen naturally. Finally, we have a miracle there. So anyway, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 20,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And Yahuwah, the Lord, said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him thou shalt set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, I will save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all of the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass that same night that Yahuwah said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thy hands be strengthened to go down to the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. Now you can tell here that Gideon was fearful. From the beginning, he constantly wanted reassurance from the Lord. We have the fleece, and now, you know, the Lord knows that he fears to go down even with 300. So he says, take your servant and go down and hear what they're saying. And so that's what he does. Every step of the way, Gideon is fearful and needs to be constantly reassured. So Yahuwah, the Lord, says to him, but if thou fear to go down, and obviously did, so go with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And so we find out that's exactly what he did. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Pharaoh's servant into the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. I mean, they're only 300. You'd kind of have a little fear, too, if you're only 300 and you have a multitude that practically can't be numbered. It says, and their camels were without number as the sand of the sea sighed for a multitude. And when Gideon was come, and it's not literally as the sand of the sea, because you know there can't be that many, but it's to draw you a picture that, there was so numerous that he couldn't number them. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. So here you have Gideon and his servants sneaking up to the outside of the camp at night, you know, because they're ready for the battle in the morning. You know, the Amalekites and all them, they're going to have a battle in the morning, right? Because they saw that there were 10,000s of these Israelites, not knowing that only 300 were left. All the rest were sent home, or perhaps they did know they were sent home, so they felt at ease. So when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon, and the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for unto his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Wow, this is quite a conversation he's overhearing. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me, and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that be with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of Yahuwah and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord, the sword of Yahuwah and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and Yahuwah set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. And the hosts fled to Beth Shittah and Zereath, and to the border of Abel Mohelah unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Beth-barah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and took the waters unto Beth-barah and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock. Oreb and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb, and what was I able to do in comparison to you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, Give, I pray ye, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thy hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And Gideon said, Therefore, when Yahweh hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna unto my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And then he went up thence to Penuel and spoke unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spoke also to the men of Penuel, saying, When I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the hosts of the children of the east. And there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeha, and smote the hosts, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them, and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up, and caught a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him, and he described unto him the princes of Succoth, and the elders thereof, even 70 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth, and said, Behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom you did upbraid me, saying, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city, and the thorns of the wilderness, and the briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel, and he slew the men of the city. And he said unto Zeba and Zalmunna, What manner of men were they whom you slew at Tabor? And they answered, As thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, They were my brethren, even the sons of my mother, as the Lord liveth. As you have saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, Up, and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, Rise thou, and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, be thou, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. Yahuwah shall rule over you. He's saying, The Lord shall rule over you. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, "We will willingly give." And they spread a garment and did cast thereon every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about their camels' necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in his city, even in Ophrah, and all Israel went thither a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. Oh, well, there's something that's controversial. 70 sons. That's 70 sons. Wow. Anyway, we'll pick up here when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border.